The Night Circus, read by Agatha Shepherd Jones. Truth or dare? Caroline calls from the upper branches. She receives no reply, so she drops an acorn directly on her brother's head. Truth or dare, Bailey? She repeats. Bailey rubs his head through his hat. Maybe the acorn makes him choose the way he does. Truth is a resigned response, a yielding to Caroline's abusive, nut-throwing version of the game. Dare is marginally more defiant. Even if he is humouring her, at least he isn't a coward. It seems like the right thing to say, and he feels rather proud of himself when it takes Caroline a moment to respond. She sits on her branch some 15 feet above him, swinging her leg and looking off over the field while she formulates the dare. Bailey's dare, she starts, making it his own and no one else's, binding him to it. He begins to feel uneasy before she even says what the dare actually consists of. She pauses dramatically before declaring, Bailey's dare is to break into the Night Circus. I'll do it, he says. The gates are easily three times his height. The letters atop it spelling out Le Cirque de Rêve are almost indiscernible in the daylight, each one perhaps the size of a rather large pumpkin. The curls of iron around the letters do remind him of pumpkin vines. There is a complicated-looking lock holding the gates shut and a small sign that reads, Gates open at nightfall and close at dawn, in swirly lettering, and under that, in tiny plain letters, trespassers will be exanguated. Bailey doesn't know what exanguated means, but he doesn't much like the sound of it. The afternoon sun casts long shadows across the tents, stretching over the dry ground. The ground has been painted or powdered white in some areas, black in others. Bailey can see the brown dirt beneath that has been kicked up by so many feet walking over it. He wonders if they repaint it every night as he turns another corner. And because he is looking at the ground, he nearly runs into the girl. She is standing in the middle of the path between the tents, just standing there as though she is waiting for him. She looks to be about his own age, and she wears what can only be called a costume, as they certainly aren't normal clothes. White boots with lots of buttons, white stockings, and a white dress made from bits of every fabric imaginable, scraps of lace and silk and cotton all combined into one, with a short white military jacket over it and white gloves. Every inch from her neck down is covered in white, which makes her red hair exceptionally shocking. You're not supposed to be here, the red-haired girl says quietly. I know, he says, and it sounds to him like the stupidest thing in the world to say, but the girl only looks at him. I'm sorry, he adds, which sounds even stupider. You should probably leave before anyone else sees you, the girl says, glancing over her shoulder, but Bailey cannot tell what she is looking for. Which way did you come in? Bailey turns around but cannot tell which way he came. The path turns in on itself and he cannot see any of the signs to know which ones he had passed. I'm not sure, he says. That's all right, come with me. The girl takes his hand in her white-gloved one and pulls him down one of the passageways. She does not say anything more as they walk through the tents, though she makes him stop when they reach a corner and they do not move for almost a minute. When he opens his mouth to ask what they're waiting for, she simply holds her finger to her lips to quiet him and then continues walking a few seconds later. Go out this way, the girl says. You should be fine. She helps Bailey squeeze through the bars, which are a bit tighter in this part of the fence. When he is on the other side, he turns around to face her. Thank you, he says. He cannot think of anything else to say. You're welcome, the girl says. But you should be more careful. You're not supposed to come here during the day. It's trespassing. I know. I'm sorry, Bailey says. What does exanguated mean? The girl smiles. It means draining all your blood, she says. But they don't actually do it, I don't think. She turns and starts back down the passageway. Wait, Bailey says. though he doesn't know what he is asking her to wait for. The girl returns to the fence. She does not respond, just waits to hear what he has to say. I'm supposed to bring something back, he says, and regrets it instantly. The girl's brow furrows as she stares at him through the bars. Bring something back, she repeats. Yeah. The girl smiles. She bites her lip for a second and looks thoughtful, and then she pulls off one of her white gloves and hands it to him through the bars. Bailey hesitates. It's okay, take it, she says. I have a whole box of them. Bailey takes the white glove from her and puts it in his pocket. Thank you, he says again. You're welcome, Bailey, the girl says. And this time, when she turns away, he does not say anything, and she disappears behind the corner of a striped tent. Bailey stands there for a long while before he walks back across the field. There is no one left in the oak tree when he reaches it. Only a great deal of acorns on the ground and the sun is starting to set. He is halfway home when he realizes he never told the girl his name.